Taxation is theft.
Please, at least leave us alone in our living room.
My job is to find the truth.
Double the taxes.
I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value.
Triple the taxes.
This is an IRS agent's dream.
If you think that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourself.
Beautiful, lovely taxes.
Sorry, but I don't do taxes.
Did you see the memo about this?
The government is a greedy piglet.
Just leave us alone.
Do you know what Ralph just said?
The roads.
You boys like Mexico?
I'm as bad as hell, and I'm not gonna take this anymore.
And welcome back. we've been having it's been a crazy day. Everything's going wrong today. Hopefully we got the audio and the video and everything is working today. So give me a thumbs up if everything's coming in loud and clear. I've got Josh Flynn with me today. Josh is really an awesome guy. I met him in Chicago when I was passing through a couple times during this crazy past couple of has it been weeks or months? I don't even know. It's only been a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Time schedule's all off, right?
Okay. Yeah, it's insane. Because we went from there to the lockdown. I was leaving Illinois, around like it was the day after the governor announced that he was going to shut down the restaurants, and I went from there to Texas, and then from Texas back to Mexico, and like that was like when everything just really started shutting down. But yeah, it was. I keep saying how freezing cold it is. Josh is like, it's 50 degrees. It's warm.
Hey, it feels good, man.
It does sound like it's a little bit warmer than the last time I was up there, because I was did I see snow? No, that was somewhere else. That was on my way to Chicago. Yeah, welcome, Josh. How's it going?
It's going pretty good. Thanks for having me on today.
Yeah, absolutely. So Josh is running for the Illinois State House in District 78, and tell me about it. What made you run?
I guess it's the same old, same old. Just basically tired of not our people that's in the office not taking up and doing their job, not being transparent with the community, and not working with the organizations in the community as well as the people there. So I was like, well, I'm already working with the organizations. I'm working with the people. I'm active in the community. Let me give it a shot. That's what I did. I've been running ever since last March, last year, 2019.
Wow, awesome. That's great to see that you're getting like a whole head start, because it is especially running as a libertarian. It's not easy. Cards are kind of stacked against you. Yeah, and that's really awesome that you're already tied into the community too. So tell me a little bit more about that. Like what kind of projects do you work on? How does that tie into like your platform, and what is your platform? What are your most important issues that you want to solve?
Lowering the taxes here in Illinois.
I like that.
Bringing economic liberation to the communities, especially the underprivileged communities of Illinois, especially here in District 78. Safer streets, and you know, with school choice, along with school choice.
Awesome. And I want to get more into that about the Corona thing, because that's something I've been talking about a lot is like the economic impact of that. So I want to come back to that in a second. But first, what's going on in Illinois, like as far as this lockdown? Because you've got and how is that affecting your campaign? How is that affecting your family and the people around you? What's going on? How bad are you locked down up there?
Basically, I've been in the house all week. You know, we can't get signatures right now because, you know, the distance issue with people. People don't want to, they don't want to take your clipboard. They don't want you to walk too close to them. So it's a problem. It's a very big problem. So the state party is actually getting involved with hopefully filing a lawsuit pretty soon, if not already got started on it. I've been talking with my lawyers back and forth with them this past week about how we're going to move forward, because I can't make the minimum if people don't even want to approach me because of this fire, you know. So that's the big hiccup, but we're going to work out a way, because if the governor or the board of elections do not do anything, we have to still get those signatures in order to get on the ballot for this year, for November. So,
right. And I mean, how is it affecting everything else? Like, is I mean, you said you've been in the house most of the time. Have you gone out for groceries? Is there, you know, how bad are you locked down? I know some of the other states. I think California is like imposing a curfew and some other things like that.
Well, my biggest part of my district, which is Oak Park, they have a shutdown after 5 o'clock. They don't want nobody walking the streets after five unless you have an essential job. So that's a big issue because that's my biggest voting block is Oak Park. So that's pretty rough as well. Grocery-wise, we haven't got groceries since last week, I think it was. So we pretty much bunkered in pretty much. If we want to go out for anything, my wife is not working right now, so she's home. I had already stopped working because of the campaign as well. So.
And what's the so when you say like people can't be out after five, what are the consequences of that? Like, what will they actually do if someone's out?
Oh, they're giving you tickets. They're giving you the first one is a warning. After that, you'll be ticketed and you might be prosecuted beyond that. So.
And then is this like, because I've seen we actually put out a hall pass today. That's I don't know if you saw that, but it's like. Like, I've seen some of the letters that the businesses are giving to their essential employees so that they can be out. And basically what I did is I took that as a model and declared that any volunteers working for my campaign are essential employees. They're working for the free press. They're working to get information out there and the truth so everybody knows what's going on. They're working for political means to make sure that our democracy doesn't crumble during this time. That's an absolute essential role. So I created this hall pass that anyone can just download and print and carry it with them. Is that part of the, like, is that really something that the police are doing out there where like you need your hall, you need your papers?
Yes. You need to. Yes. They are. They actually at the hospitals, people work at the hospitals. They have a paper already formed up for them. I think even some Amazon plants actually have the paper as well in order to get the back and forth to work. Wow. You know, if you're there, especially if you're there after that 5 o'clock. So, yeah.
Wow. That's amazing. How do you feel about all this?
It kind of bothers me when government can take that much control over people. You know, people have the right to think on their own selves. You know, we're hoping that they would take the right mind to stay in if they see it's actually affecting people. But when you're being forced to do those things, and I mean, I haven't had a hall pass since I was in elementary school. So that's,
right.
You know, that's, I'm like, I'm not a kid anymore. I am an adult. I can't think of my own mind. You know, I know that it's not good for my health. So yeah, I'm not going to be out unnecessarily, you know, just be out, but you know. That's just the government, you know. That's why we fight for less government because of it.
Right. So I want to get back to you brought up an interesting issue. That's economic literacy and economic education. Tell me about that. Uh oh, I think I just lost you. Hang on a second. What's going on here? Zoom is having issues. All right, give me 1 second here.
Sure.
I think it's finally gotten too hot out here for this computer, and it's like I'm dying. I don't want to work.
What's the temperature there?
No. Let me just. What is going on here? Yeah. No, I can't hear you for some reason. It's not on your end, is it? Did you hit the mic?
I can hear you real good. I can hear you very well. Yes. Testing 1, 2, 3.
Yes. Oh wait. Say something.
Texting 1, 2, 3. Testing 3, 2, 1.
Oh, now it's working. Now I'm not hearing it. Oh, man. Okay, wait. Let me try this.
Sure.
All right, now say something.
Testing 1, 2, 3.
All right.
Testing.
Yeah, that's working. Okay, I don't know what's the deal with that, but okay, we're back. So tell me about that. So what's What do you think is, you know, what is economic literacy, and why is it important in your perspective?
Oh, economic literacy or economic liberation?
Whichever. I thought you said economic literacy.
Liberation.
Okay. Yeah. Let's tell me about that.
Well, being liberated, you know, as right now people talk about economic development, they want, you know, they want a seat at the table, they want to be heard, and they want things to follow through, you know, and be able to follow up on those things. And with economic liberation is being liberated, being able to see the economic development in their communities, not just talk about it. We've been at the table for a long time across the Black communities and minority communities, but just because we're at the table doesn't mean we're actually, things are being done. You
know? Right.
Power is being transpired at the table. So that liberation is actually having a person that's there, making sure not just following through, but actually following up on those things happening. And that's the difference between me and the incumbent. That's what I would bring to the table.
So like what kind of actual steps would you want to take, or would you want to see the government take to make that happen?
Well, free up as far as like inmates can come out and have those jobs. They can have their own businesses in those communities that they're from. As of right now, it makes it so hard because of that. I like to free up those loopholes that they have to go through. Even with the people that's here, it's so hard right now. Some people have a lot of hard times having their own dispensaries here in Austin, you know, Black-owned dispensaries across the state, not just in Austin. So I like to free up find what the loopholes are and free them up for the people of those communities.
So that would, what's going on with the dispensaries? Like, is it too much in taxes and regulations and not being able to start them up, and it's too difficult to run, that sort of thing?
Too much regulations. I don't think the running part is a problem, or the money. It's the regulations itself behind it, trying to get started. Though, like I said, those loopholes, which is the regulations, trying to deregulate those things for them. Yes.
Okay, cool. So this is... this has come up a lot. I mean, I've been talking about this a lot just because of what's happened with the whole coronavirus and the lockdown and everything. Because you have, like, we have this situation where most people are being forced to stay home. They can't go to work. Some people are working from home. But everyone's worried about, like, I can't pay my rent. Credit cards and, like, some other stuff. But, like, who cares about that? Like, most important is rent and food, right? And my big thing has been... while everyone's talking about how great the economy is doing and unemployment is at record lows, it's like how much of that really matters if, like, some tragedy could happen, whether it's a natural disaster or a man-made disaster, whatever, whether we go to war, whether it's like a hurricane or an earthquake, and or somebody gets, you know, you get hit by a car, you get, you know, in a car accident and you're not able to go to work. All of these things can happen. And all of a sudden you lose your income, and none of us are in a position where that's survivable at that point, because you still, like, even if you own your house outright, you still got to pay your property tax. But even then, like, if you bought your house 5 years ago, before the FHA rules, you would have owned your house by now. Because of the FHA rules, you still got 25 years left on your mortgage. And, like, all these things that the government's put in place have put us into this system where, like, when it's running, it feels like it's running great and we're all making money. But then it's like all it takes is one company to go out of business, or, like, something, you know, something happens, or something on a bigger scale, like a natural disaster, and everybody's like, wait a minute, how am I going to survive? Like, I think, like, to me, this is the biggest problem to figure out of all of it, because it really affects all of us. And it's like, this is why we work so much, right? This is why everybody's working 40, 60, 80 hours a week, because, like, we got to pay for all these things just to survive. And it's like we're treading water just to keep our head up. And most of this is because of taxes. And even you look at, like, our paychecks are cut in half. So that's like paddling slower and slower and slower. It's like, you know, because half of it's been being taken away from us. So I don't know. I just dumped a lot of that. But, like, what do you think in terms of that, and how does that relate to your platform and what you intend to do? How are you planning on fixing some of these problems?
Yeah, with the taxes especially, that's a part of my platform. Cutting back on unnecessary spending would leave more money in people's pockets. Like, we spend so much here in Illinois, especially in Chicago, on policing. We over-police so much. we constantly, you know, hiring new officers. Instead of hiring new officers, how about we retrain the ones we have to make them better at what they do, instead of hiring more people in the field, because it's costing the taxpayers more and more money each and every year. You know, then they have these pensions that it's crazy with the pension system in Illinois, because we're still paying for people after they retire in Illinois. And those, like, even with the former superintendent, he retired, his pension is over six figures a year. You know, it's almost close to $200,000 a year for his pension for a person that's not even working for the city anymore. Actually, he was fired from the city of Chicago. And like I said, a lot of that money could be going back into the taxpayers' pockets each and every day, and they can be utilizing that money for other things, building new businesses, you know, being creators of something new, innovating. And as of right now, it's hard to do that when you're constantly spending out so much money. We had another increase in the plate sticker on your cars. You know, we pay the highest taxes in tobacco tax, almost $10 a pack of cigarettes. Just in tax alone, it's $10 for a pack of cigarettes.
Wow.
We have the highest wireless tax in the country, 34% in wireless tax here. Like I said, wireless tax for your wireless cell phones.
Oh, wow. So, okay.
We pay the most in everything. We're second highest in property taxes in the country behind New Jersey. So, you know, if we cut back on a lot of this wasteful spending, because the money, as I look at it, is the money, where's the money is going? You know, let's track down the money first. Let's track it down. Where is it going? Is it being spent for the righteous things? Are they spending on the things they say they are? Or is this money being pocketed by politicians and corporations, you know, that's just taken from the taxpayers and not getting a return on investment, which is that taxes that they pay out?
Right. And what about the income tax? Because when I was there, I was at the they were having a referendum on the income tax, and they're trying to pass I don't know if it was a constitutional amendment or they were trying to amend the constitutional amendment that would they already have a state income tax, but it would create, I guess, like a more graduated version of that. Yes. So what about that?
The graduated tax is going to be in November. It's going to be on the general election. They're trying to pass that because right now we have a flat tax as of right now. But they want to do a graduated tax. That didn't make sense to me either. So I look at that. They have a chart out on it. If I could find that chart, I have it in one of my emails, where a person that makes $10,000 a year pays the same as a person making $100,000 a year. So they say this will still be more. It's better, you know, it's more equal, you know, people can afford it better. But how is that, you know, a person making $10,000 a year is paying the same as a person making six figures? You can't explain that to someone that makes $20,000. They're going to pay the same tax, state income tax, as a person making $100,000 a year. You know, that's, and I think it's unconstitutional. See, it's constitutional. I think it's unconstitutional. Pass a law like
right that. And what's interesting is, like, I was reading, I wish I had it, I don't have it right here with me. It says okay so everybody thinks the income tax is a tax on income, but what was interesting about reading that it was the Illinois Constitution, what it is now and what it's going to change to. What it is now already says something about it references either a tax on the income or a tax on a tax on the individual based on their income, which is a really interesting way to say that, because you're basically saying you're not taxing the income, you're just taxing them and you're gonna base it on their income. Like, that's like almost a more direct statement of yeah, we're going to steal from people, and how much we steal from them depends on how much they make. I thought that was really crazy. But the other thing I know about the Illinois income tax is, like, it's before the federal income tax was passed in 1913, there were two court rulings that said an income tax was unconstitutional, the way that they had tried to pass it two times before. And so the states, because the states don't have the authority to create an income tax, what they did is they basically piggybacked onto the federal government's income taxes. And when you read through all their tax codes, and this is the same in every state that has an income tax, it says, like, when you start reading the definitions, it says this word, unless otherwise, you know, we change it, means what it means in the federal income tax code. And it all references the federal law. And so really, like, everything that they've done is they just said, oh, well, you're giving all this money to the feds, but you're doing it from inside of our state. So we want to cut. It's so insane. They have like this like labyrinth of all these stupid rules that makes absolutely no sense. But yeah, either way, I say get rid of the whole income tax. What do you say to that?
Yeah, I said, so yeah, get rid of it. In certain states don't even have state income taxes, you know, here. But we have it. We have other things on top of that. So, yeah, get rid of it altogether.
Awesome. So what else? You have you talked about school choice. Let's talk about that, because this is an interesting topic especially among libertarians, because they don't seem to agree on that at all. There's a lot of different opinions on that. What do you say? What is school choice, and why do we need it, and how is that going to make everybody's life better?
Well, you give the parent and the student an opportunity to attend a school that's better for them, better for their education, better for their learnings. A lot of things are not taught in certain schools, like the public school. They don't teach certain things that will be taught in a private or parochial school. Like my son, he went to St. Joseph High School here in Westchester. And certain things that he wouldn't learn in a high school in Chicago, because they just wouldn't taught it. He learned about taxes. He learned about economics. A lot of schools don't have that option in the city of Chicago. He got that choice out there. Just having their parents, they have their choice to send their students where they wanted to go. Like my daughter, she goes to charter school here in Chicago. She loves it there at the charter. It works well for her. I don't think public school worked good for her. She's never been to a public school, but she has been to private. Private didn't work well. We tried to charter. She's been progressing. She's been on a roll ever since she's been there. So it's just having that option. Just giving the option. I don't say get rid of public schools. I say work with the public schools. You know, it gives them competition to work better, to make them better. You know, you want all schools doing good, not just, you know, just one sector of schools. But that competition helps. It helps in the free market.
So, but I mean, that's interesting, because you say that you've got your kids learn things that they wouldn't learn in the public schools. So why not just, I mean, why not just turn everything into a charter school or private schools? Why should the public schools stay around at all if they're, I mean, they're just not doing that good? And with the charters, you basically get to take your money back from what you paid in the tax, right? Isn't that how that works?
Yeah, that's how it works. Yeah. I say, because of the competition makes them work better. Like give prime example with the automotive field. You had General Motors here. General Motors was thriving, and then, well, not General Motors, but Ford was thriving. Then General Motors came around, so it made Ford work a lot harder. Chrysler came around, so it made General Motors and Ford work harder now, because Chrysler's there. And then with the overseas companies coming into the market, everybody now has to step up their game. And that's the same thing with the school systems. By having charters doing better and having the private schools doing better, the only thing it's going to increase is the performance in the public schools to make them do better as well. So I say, no, I say keep the public schools, keep the privates and the charters, and watch the competition, and our kids are going to do better. Our kids are going to thrive.
But why not have that competition between, say, like 10 charter schools and 10 private schools, and not have any of the, like, you know, if the public schools are doing that bad, why have them at all if all the other ones are doing that great? Because you can have multiple schools that are still competing. They're just different types.
Because I believe in giving the parents that option of having the private. Giving that option, by taking away, they don't have that option anymore. And that's why I call it school choice. Because now you take away the public school, now they don't have the choice. But some people love the public school. Some people love their kids attending public schools, whatever reasons they do have. But that's their reasons. That's their choice. So I will still have them keep their choices.
Okay. All right, cool. So let's see. What else did you have on your platform?
Safer Streets.
Safer Streets. Let's talk about that.
Whew. Where do we start? I talk every day about it because it bothers me, especially in Chicago. Chicago has probably one of the highest crime rates in the country as of right now, especially with the murder rate so high. I mean, it's just... It becomes scary at times. They talk about this virus going on at the same time. I mean, we almost had 100 deaths in Chicago just off the violence alone. And that's not even talking about the virus or any viruses for that matter. And we have to change that because we're losing kids. These are young people. I mean, the average age of these kids is 35 and under that are down on our city streets. And it's not just in Chicago. Like I talk about, it's happening in Rockford. It's happening in Southern Illinois in the minority communities. It's happening down in Champaign area, Springfield area. They're losing people every, you know, this is happening. This is ongoing. And we have to work with those communities. So what I do is I am an ambassador for a couple of our districts, 15th District Police Department, as well as 25th District. And what we're working on is building the communication where we have a relationship building between the community and the police department that's not there. Used to be there years ago, but it's not there anymore. And that's why you see the crime rate is constantly growing and growing. So our goal is to have a basically more sit downs with the community where police officers can walk up amongst the beat, talk with the community members and find out what's going on. How can we change this? How can we fix this? Because if we don't have trust and relationship building, we're going to have an increase of crime for the years to come. So that's what we've been working on the past year and a half. We have been working on that. And I've been working on that since I was a kid with my father with Northwest Austin Council. That's one of our non-for-profits. And give them resources. They may need jobs. They may need job training where it won't be out of pocket because a lot of them can't afford to pay for job trainings. So we find these organizations that actually are paying for it. And we have put a lot of people to work. There's another organization I work with called GTW, Get to Work Illinois. And over a year, each year, we probably employ almost 1,000 people to go work for different organizations, different companies. And a lot of them are inmates. Recent inmates has just left the prison system. And a lot of them are working very well in it and doing very well. Actually are going into management positions because of it. That's our increasing work that we do in the community. Like I said, I've been doing this ever since I was a child. We started off with KCC, was an organization of Northwest Austin Council. Like I said, right now I'm a board member there. I'm a board member with GTW and Mothers on the Mission. Mothers on the Mission, what they do there is they communicate with families that have been through these cycles of either crime members that have lost members of their family because of the crime or they was in prison. And they basically do a lot of psychological things with them to help them out. They have to move forward because it's not just the people, the adults that get it, they have a problem with it. It's the kids that every day that has to go each day, you know, dealing with losing a parent, or losing a cousin or a brother or a sibling. And that's their goals with the organization. We try to help everyone. We can't reach everyone, but each one we reach, you know, it's getting better. At least we try.
So, I mean, it sounds like you're doing some really awesome work. I want to know, like, what do you think is the root cause of, you know, of whether it's, I guess let's just talk about violence. What do you think is the root cause of all this? Why is there so much of it? Is it because of economic situations? Is it just because of, I don't know. What is it? Is it something social, like the social structure, the things that are available, the businesses that are available in the neighborhood, whether they're, you know, whether those are helping to shape the society or, you know, what do you think it is?
It's all of the above. It's the social system that we have put, that those people in those communities are put in, the environments they are put in. A lot of them don't grow up with a two-parent system. I believe in a two-parent system. Both your parents there working hard and diligently, that's what you see every day. When you see doctors and lawyers in your community that are the same race of you, more likely you're going to become a doctor or lawyer. When you see people struggling and barely struggling, you don't want to struggle. Nobody wants to struggle. So they do whatever they can. They get involved into activities that are not good for the community, but they're just trying. And they're not, a lot of them are not taught. And a lot of them don't, what you see is what you're going to become. You see trash every day, you're going to become trash. They need to see a different environment. They need to see different men and women in their community striving a lot differently. But those options are taken away because it's not there. Those resources are not there. The economics is not there. A lot of our businesses are not owned from the people that's from there. The majority of our businesses are people outside of our community. That's why I push to give back to people from the community owning businesses there. You know, being the business owners like they used to in the olden days. We had our own banks. We had our own shopping centers in our own communities, you know, and they lived in those same communities. The dollar didn't leave until it exchanged hands 8 times. Right now, it exchanged hands 1 or 2 times and it's out of our community already. You know, like I said, we had banks. We don't have banks anymore that are owned by the community. And that's why I have a big push for trying to get credit unions back into the black communities across the state. you know, we have one on the south side of Chicago, working on trying to bring it to the west side of Chicago as well. So, like I said, it's all of the above, you know, situations they're put in, the economics is not there. Deregulations, when they're trying to do better, it's always a loophole they got to jump, another loophole they have to jump to get better. I had a friend of mine, we have a program with one of the organizations here where you're able to work for Chicago Transit Authority, making very good pay. But they made him jump through so many loopholes that one of the tests he didn't pass. And he wasn't allowed to come back and retake that test, you know, just to get, because this the loopholes. And it's constant. It's constant in our communities. Like I said, not just in Chicago, across the state and across the country. You know, when we start working on those, getting rid of those loopholes, working on the social issues, removing those social issues that's in those communities, you'll see a thriving minority communities across the country.
Right. And I can, like, that's one of the things that I've learned a million times from a million people is surround yourself with positive people. So I totally get that. Like if you're around lots of negativity, that helps to bring you down, and you have to see past that and surround yourself with the positivity. But what do you think? I mean, how did Chicago get into this position where it's like that? I mean, why, you said you used to have your own banks. Why not now? What happened? Was it simply through, I always love to blame government and their taxes. Was it simply that they just taxed everything away from everybody so that nobody had anything left? They've taxed the property, they've taxed the businesses, they've taxed everything else until they have to give it through to the government. And then only the corporations that are receiving the money from the government are the ones that are left in the hands of the original owners. Do you think that's a fair statement, or do you think there's something else to it?
Along with that, and the leadership change. The leadership changed in the 60s and 70s. They took away the leadership in our communities. We had people like Fred Hampton. We had people like Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, Mega Evers in our communities that was taken away from our communities because of that. When that leadership changed, it went a whole different direction. Because that's when everything went a whole different direction. Those businesses left. We lost those businesses because of that. It's the leadership. Majority of the leadership. We don't have the leadership anymore. It's not there. Our politicians are not. They're not leaders. They're not leaders, and they're showing themselves as of right now. Because leadership, a leader in a community, makes you feel safe. Makes your mindset be calm. Right now, our country is not calm right now because the leadership does not have our people calm. And I say our people, I mean the American people. And we had a panic because we don't know what to do, because the leadership hasn't calmed the people down. When we get that leadership back, you'll see another change in our communities across America.
Awesome. So, I mean, it sounds like you're stepping up to do that. You're the new leader that you're going to lead everybody into prosperity and kind of turn things around from the direction that they're in. That sounds awesome, man.
Thank you. I feel that, you know, I did a little boxing for about 2 seconds. And I feel that I'll be the person to take the uppercuts, take the punches, and at the last round, do the knockouts for our communities. You know, that's the person they need. They don't need a person that's going to fall and taint because they didn't get their way this day. You need a person that's going to keep fighting, you know, regardless of what the outcome's going to be. You got to keep fighting. I mean, you lose the day, you can come back tomorrow. If you can't come back tomorrow, you come back another day. You know, I remember one person said, if you get knocked down, hopefully you fall on your back, because if you can look up, you can get up. And that's what our community needs to do. They need to look up and get up. They need a person to follow behind on that notion.
Awesome. That sounds great, man. I think this is really kind of new because I've talked to a lot of libertarian candidates running for all kinds of different offices, but I don't think I've talked to anybody who's that tied into the community as you are. So I think that's, you know, hopefully that's going to give you, a really great head start on, you know, just having connections, being able to network, and affiliate with other organizations. I think that really is a huge part of it that a lot of libertarian candidates miss. And of course, I'm a hypocrite because I'm not that, you know, tied in with organizations like that either, mostly just kind of on the liberty front. So, Yeah, I think that's really amazing, and hopefully that's going to help you get a lot further ahead in this election.
It will.
Is this your first time running?
Yes, it's my first time.
Awesome.
First time running.
Awesome. Well, congratulations. Welcome to the party.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Awesome.
I feel welcome ever since day one. Ever since day one, when we broke bread in Forest Park, it was early last year we broke bread, and I feel welcome ever since.
Awesome. So I've got your website on the screen, joshforstaterep.com. You want to give any other plugs? You want to talk about any of your organizations, what you're doing?
Yeah, so like I say, with Northwest Austin Council right now, we're down trying to do it, but we're trying to figure out a way so we can do it across social media. So before that, before the virus broke out, what we was doing programs for youth, basically between 24 and under, the teenagers. I think actually the youngest kid there was maybe 11 or 12, and teaching about taxes, teaching about home ownership, business ownership, and working with people, just basically teaching the programs. We have people that's there, previous realtors from the past, tax professionals teaching the kids as well. And we're going to try to keep pushing it even through this virus where they can do it online. You probably do a Facebook Live. And that's one of our biggest pushes. And also GTW. We're constantly working, trying to get people jobs. Also, I didn't talk about GTW as we do transportation along with that as well. Because a big problem is a lot of people live in different gang areas of the city. And they have a fear of trying to transport, you know, to get to jobs through those communities. So what we do is we actually pick them up in their community and take them to the jobs and back to their community. So they don't have to worry about that fear of being attacked or assaulted on the way to work or back home. So that's two of the biggest things that's going on right now. And Moms on a Mission too. She's doing a big push right now for doing more circles with people in different groups as well. So, trying to stay busy, man.
Sounds great, man. That's amazing. I want to ask, like, how, if somebody wants to help out with any of those organizations, is there anything we can do from home? And if anybody's in your area, if anybody's near Chicago and they want to help out, is there anything that they can do?
Yes. We reach out through my website, shoot me an email at info@joshforstaterep.com, and I'll relay the information. Whatever resources that you have, that you can bring to the table, if it be tax preparation you have in the past or real estate you had in the past, as well as new organizations that you know are hiring that need some workers, especially, or if you have a background in psychology, it'd be essential for Mothers on a Mission to help out with that program. Yes, just shoot me an email and I can relay the information directly to those people.
Yes. Awesome. And so, tell me more about Mothers on a Mission. What exactly do they do?
Well, like I said, they do. They help with people that's been through trauma, through crime trauma mostly is what she deals with. So it could be like I can lose my brother and I need someone just to talk to, have a conversation with that actually that knows the steps of getting through it. And she helps with that. That's what she does, a whole step process to help those people cope with their losses, you know, or returning back to society. She can also help with those as well.
Man, that's something you don't think about every day is what that's like to have that happen and to have to go through that. And what's
the trauma, not to cut you off, but the trauma is real. Like when they have these different cases, these shootouts at these schools, but you got to understand especially in the Black community across the country, these kids are constantly losing somebody that's close to them. It might not be relatives at times, it could be close friends, next door neighbors that they're losing, and they're going through that trauma. And it's those resources not given to those kids, but they're given to kids that are different locations, different schools. But that's why she comes back and she throws these programs to try to help those kids, parents, and community members with that. It's an issue. It's a huge issue. I one-on-one have dealt with that kind of trauma myself. Dealing as a small child, so even to adulthood to this day. So I know what it's like. Yes.
Awesome. Man, that's a lot of information and a lot to think about. I'm trying to see. I'm trying to think of some other questions I got for you before. I know you got to run soon.
Oh well, just this. My wife just went to the door. My books just came, so I'm happy about that. I got a new book that just got published on the 17th of this month. Black Libertarianism in the Blue State. It's basically a first part is my autobiography. Second part is my political. Political philosophy of basically transforming from Democrat into a libertarian. So she just went to the door and got the books.
Nice. And so can you hold one up for us, or are you gonna unbox them later?
I can get one for you right now, actually.
All right.
One second.
and where can if somebody wanted to get that book, is it on Amazon?
It's on Amazon, yes it is.
Awesome. It's on Amazon. Yeah, if you can get your wife to grab one, that's fine. Otherwise, yeah.
She's gonna grab one right now.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, so that's great, man. When did you write that?
We just got finished with the editing, like maybe 2 weeks ago. We just got finished with the editing, and I like Amazon because it's fast, it's quick. I think it took less than 24 hours to get the publishing done.
Wow, that's awesome. I know, like that's been on my bucket list for a while. Is I got to write a book. But of course, the biography part isn't done yet because I'm still living.
Oh yeah, yeah, always on the change. You know, your life goals, everything you set changes every day almost.
Right, but
especially when you're running for president. So
yeah, and that's the thing too. My political philosophy. I mean, I don't know. The principles kind of always stay the same, but the way I apply them to different situations is always changing. So it's I don't know. That's really interesting because like one of the things I wanted to do for a while was go back to like all these things that I wrote and posted on social media. There you go. Nice. And that's a nice cover too, man.
Yeah, thank you.
Awesome. Yeah. So go check out this book. We'll, send me a link to the Amazon. And then I'll go back and edit this live stream and put the link on there. So you can, so by the time you're hearing me say this, you should be able to scroll down and see a link and get the book.
Okay, sure. Cool.
But yeah, it's yeah, that's the thing. So my principles kind of always stay the same, hopefully more or less, but then it's like how I apply them into different situations kind of changes over time, learning from like, I guess just learning new things and learning new, I don't know, just learning from different people, different perspectives, you know, different little things about scenarios that I thought I knew everything about, but like, oh, wait, no, there's something new. There's a new perspective on it. So it's interesting how that always changes. But yeah, so I was thinking like I could just go back and grab like all these posts that I've been putting on social media, but then I've gone back and read some of them and I'm like, I don't agree with that, like with my own words. Yeah. So it's interesting, man. Awesome. All right. Well, I'm going to let you go. I know you got to run, but thank you so much for joining me on the show. It's been awesome talking with you. I wish you the best of luck with your run. I'm going to keep an eye out and see how well you're doing. Anybody else who wants to follow? Oh, let me ask this one more thing. If somebody wants to help you with the campaign, what do you need and what can they do to help?
We need volunteers right now. A big push for volunteers because with the virus, we need more people to make calls for us as well. Send texts, send emails. So on my website, joshforstaterep.com, JOSH4STATEREP.com, I have a volunteer page. You can just go ahead and volunteer, put your information in, and we'll reach back out to you. Yes. And also I have a donation page on there as well. Yes.
Awesome. That sounds great. All right, man. It's been awesome. And we'll talk soon. I'm going to keep an eye on this and taxation is theft.
All right, thank you, Dan. I really appreciate it.
All right, I'll see you around.
Talk to you soon.
Taxation is theft.
Please, at least leave us alone in our living room.
My job is to find the truth.
Double the taxes.
I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value.
Triple the taxes.
This is an IRS agent's dream.
If you think that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourself.
Beautiful, lovely taxes.
Sorry, but I don't do taxes.
Did you see the memo about this?
The government is a greedy piglet.
Just leave us alone.
Do you know what Ralph just said?
Roads!
You boys like Mexico!